heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
A lot's changed, and a lot's changed regarding Turkey over the past many years. And, you know, you think back, friends, to 2016. Actually, it was on the 15th of July. And that was the big coup d'etat there. Obviously, there was an attempt and this attempt, by the way, was carried out by the Turkish armed forces. Hence, what's happened since then is President Erdogan of Turkey has really doubled and tripled down is what he's done. He's really took a lot of precautions, not only there domestically in Turkey, but with his relationships worldwide. And then you have to remember as well that Turkey is a NATO member. It's a big story. And of course, you see now with the Kurds and what's going on in Syria, which really brings us to current day. We're going to open this up now and bring on IQ Al Razuli. No one better to talk about on this. And if you've been watching his articles on America Out Loud, you'll know that he has been absolutely on fire with his write-ins and been absolutely amazing. You want to learn some things about the Middle East. You want to learn about some of the dangers in the world, people. You want to read IQ's articles, his columns on America Out Loud, and you'll get educated real quickly. IQ, it's always good to have you here. And so I've referenced the coup d'etat back in 2016 because to me that was a moment in time. And let me ask you your opinion. How close was Erdogan back in 2016 to being overthrown?
Never. He was never going to be overthrown. This was made up by Erdogan. This was never an attack against him. He instigated it. He literally concocted it, orchestrated it. Because to take down Erdogan, they had to take him down when he was flying. But he was flying securely. Nobody would start a coup against Erdogan while Erdogan is secure. Impossible. This was an inside job.
So what is the word then is that he did this as part of a strategy to be able to tighten the forces up and to be able to make all of these rules to really change the trajectory of Turkey, huh?
Completely. He took care of 130,000 opponents, for goodness sake.
Yeah, a lot of them went to prison, right? A lot of these guys went to prison. Some were killed and, yeah.
He completely obliterated the opposition. He completely obliterated the freedom of the press. He brought back Sharia, which means he overturned everything that Kemal Atatürk, the creator of the Turkish Republic in 1923, made. No, he is a dictator of the first order.
Yeah. Erdogan has basically been getting ready to change this the history of Turkey and bring it back, as you say, to Sharia. Tell us more about the history, please.
Let me first of all to state what is considered politically incorrect.
Okay.
No matter how truthful it is. Therefore, I am declaring the obvious to all of humanity. All Muslims are Sharia compliant, whether they are Sunnis or Shia. Therefore, every Sharia compliant Muslim is the eternal and mortal enemy of every other human being who is not a Muslim. Currently, 80% of humanity called kuffar infidel. The Kurdish constitution in Article 6 and 7 asserts that Kurdistan is Sharia compliant, hence automatically superior to all other peoples in Kurdistan who are not Muslims, such as Christians, Yazidis, Jews, and others. I would like our listeners to absorb the following statement. There can never be a true democracy under Islamic Sharia. Never. Because Sharia is the antithesis of all known freedoms. I hope this makes an impact somewhere.
Yeah. No, I hear you loud and clear. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. So when they talk about shades of Islam, you don't buy that for a minute.
They don't exist. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a historical and undeniable fact that there are very few true friendships in politics. Why? Because politics are based entirely upon self-interest. Yesterday's enemy, Japan, for example, is today's friend. And today's friend is yesterday's friend, Turkey, for example, has turned into today's enemy. Trump was elected because Americans loved a politician whose only goal is to put America first at all times. Hence, contrary to all the usual and unforgiving charade of deception, misinformation, and disinformation flooding the American news by the Trump deranged syndrome afflicted media and Democrats who will forever lick the backside of Obama, no matter how egregious his faults were in Syria. Remember how ISIS was the JV team?
Right.
Trump is doing his utmost to extricate the USA from the quagmire of dysfunctional Syria that the Obama administration created in the first place.
Yeah.
Trump, unlike the traitor Obama, unleashed American might against ISIS, most of which was conducted by air power and not by land invasion. By the way, the Kurds of Iraq, not Syria, were of greater help to the USA against Saddam Hussein. Never the Turks nor the Syrian Kurds at that time. Hmm. Trump never promised the Kurds, or anyone else for that matter, that the USA will continue policing the Syrian hellhole after the elimination of ISIS.
Hmm.
Trump is not abandoning the Syrian Kurds, even though they helped the USA in defeating ISIS. Why? Because these Kurds did so to save themselves from slaughter by ISIS. He only ordered the removal from harm's way a few dozen forward military elements who were going to be in the path of Turkey's invasion of Syria.
Now, IQ, a lot of people took that as a pass for Turkey to come in, and certainly a lot of his critics and opponents have taken that as a pass, that he was given a green light to Turkey to come in. What do you say about that?
Impossible. 50 soldiers, Americans, stopped the invasion of Turkey. What kind of logic is that, for God's sake? He was amassing tanks and troops for weeks. This was an invasion. This was not an incursion. He removed these soldiers because they were in harm's way.
And the if he had not removed him, would Turkey still have come in?
Of course it would have come in. They would have surrounded them. What's the big deal? I don't know. This is not Bastogne of World War II. We're talking about 50 soldiers. So this is, a red herring by the enemies of Trump. The Kurds, tragically, have a lot to blame themselves for. Not uniting to create a state in exactly the same manner as what has been happening between the so-called Palestinians of the PA and Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
The same as in fractured Yemen. The same as in almost every Arab state. Because these states did not exist in reality before their creation by the Western allies after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, who never took into account any consideration for national, ethnic, or religious extremely deep differences. They just created. What the West and their allies should worry about is the dictator Erdogan, who is not only threatening the Syrian Kurds, but also all of Europe, by unleashing a Muslim invasion of 3.6 million of displaced people, and Turkey wants to send them to Europe. He is also threatening Israeli and Cypriot oil and gas explorations in the Mediterranean. His economy is in decline, and his popularity is ebbing among young Turks. He is most definitely seeking a war in the hope of uniting his people in a nationalistic fervor, and this is exactly what's happening.
Now, I've seen many reports that indicate that he is definitely bent on sending all of those people into Europe, that he's still going to do it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What's interesting, what we've already uncovered here, I want to circle back a second here, because many of the critics and the opponents and the political opponents that he has here including many senators and Republicans and GOP, which he has to deal with, work within the system that we have here. Many of them are blaming the president for the removal of those soldiers that allow Turkey to come in, they're saying. But you're saying that's not the case. You're saying it would have happened anyways. But yet, if that had been, politically, let me say this. Wouldn't the president have been better off politically to leave those soldiers there and to have that confrontational moment with Turkey?
Why, you want to start a war?
Exactly. Exactly.
The Americans don't want to start a war.
No, but what we're talking about right now is brilliant. This is a big major point, IQ, that nobody is talking about. So what we're saying is, correct me on this, please, but what we're saying is the fact that the president had the wherewithal, the audacity to be able to pull those troops out of there, knowing he was going to be, I mean, totally accosted for that. He was going to be, you know, ridiculed. He still did it for the sake of what you just said, A, prevented another war from starting, and two, the safety and security of the soldiers, what you're saying, huh?
Correct, but I mean, we are discussing numbers now. It's not a division of soldiers. Right. It is 50 soldiers. They can't stop even a motorcade.
Yeah, but you said that a couple of times, but I don't agree with you in this way here. It's not the fact that it's 50 that are going to stop it or not. It's the fact of this. Even if you had one soldier there that was killed, that was an American soldier, that in itself would be a declaration of war.
Correct. And then you have a war.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the bigger point.
No, but I am not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is he knew no matter what he would have done. I mean, talk about Trump. The intention of Erdogan was to invade. There is no question about it. He has to keep himself in power. By the way, every mosque in Europe, every single mosque in Europe is supporting Erdogan for the invasion.
Tell us more about that. What's going on there?
Well, the mosques are Muslim, Sunni, most of them. Right. And especially in Germany, where the greatest number of Turks are in Germany, every mosque in Germany is glorifying the invasion of Syria. So that is exactly what Erdogan wanted. I said he needed a diversion. He's doing it.
Right. Again, he's a very smart politician.
Yeah, but Hitler was also smart, for God's sake.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll talk more about Hitler in just a little bit here and the genocide that you mentioned in one of your pieces I find interesting. Let me ask you first, current day here. Should Turkey be excavated from NATO?
Of course, by the way. The USA must remove all nuclear weapons from Turkey because it is not impossible for the deranged dictator Erdogan to be able to get hold of them under whatever pretext he may conduct.
Yeah. You trust him about as much as I do, I see.
Well, nobody should trust him. By the way, he never helped America in her attack against Iraq. Did you know that? He didn't allow American flights to go against Saddam Hussein, not from Turkey.
Yeah. A lot's changed in the last 7-8 years in Turkey. You know, I was in Istanbul about 7-8 years ago before a lot of this happened. And it was a different place and a different culture at that point. And a lot's changed in the last few years in Turkey. You make a statement here, IQ, I want you to explain. You say from 2007 until 2019, Erdogan was able to utterly destroy all of Ataturk's reforms and drag Turkey once more into the dark ages of Sharia, as history clearly proves when studying any of the Muslim states.
It's a fact. Women have to wear hijab. All foreigners, all non-Muslims are now inferior, and they are treated as inferior. What are we discussing? This is Sharia. You can't change Sharia. Nobody can change Sharia, not even the Muslims, especially the Muslims. So when people tell you, democracy in a Muslim world, it is impossible to have democracy under Sharia. Take what's happening in Malaysia. They are all gone Sharia. In Afghanistan, we know that because Taliban are here. But all these Muslim countries, why are they backward? I ask the same question 100 times. Mm-hmm. How is it conceivable that 57 Muslim majority states of 1.5 billion human beings are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history? Why is that possible? Sharia. The elephant fills the room. Nobody wants to say it, but I'm saying it.
Yeah, it fills the room, all right. No question about that. And then again, you see the attempt that Erdogan, who, let's face it, Erdogan has a master plan here, as a lot of these people do, but he has a master plan. Part of that master plan, IQ, was to join the European Union.
Yes, of course. The instant he joins the European Union and the European Union leaders, mm-hmm. they are the most despicable leaders Europe has ever had since World War II. Why? Because if and when Erdogan would have been able to join them, 70 million Muslims would have gone to Europe. Not 3 million, 70 million. Europe would be destroyed. In fact, Europe is being destroyed as we speak anyway. And by the way, you Americans are not far behind. What do I say that? Look, you have Sharia controlled judges and rule and in the United States of America. You have 30 terrorist training grounds in the United States of America. By the way, this has been going on for 20, 30 years. The FBI knows about it. We discussed it also before.
That's right.
Nobody does anything about it. You have two Muslims in Congress, in the House, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, who swore on the Quran allegiance to the American Constitution, mm-hmm. which is a travesty of logic. You can't swear allegiance on the Quran to anything which is not Muslim.
Yeah.
They are traitors. There's no other way. They are traitors in action or traitors in waiting. But they are traitors. But nobody says anything. Nobody. 338 million people. Nobody stands up and tells the truth. But all I'm saying is the truth. Look. I said it before, which is unfortunate. I have had for 12 years $1.5 million worth of challenges to be proven wrong on anything I say. 12 years. I have never had a dime taken from me. I have never had a single Muslim confront. So there must be something I'm doing right that nobody is able to take away from me.
Well, you speak a lot of truth is what it is. And when you start to look at the chess pieces on the playing board here, and you see the things we talked about with Erdogan, and you see what's happened. We talked about NATO, European Union, but really the decimation of Europe, which you and I have talked about many times over the past several years, the decimation of what's happened in Europe, the European leaders, which you've talked about and discussed, the downfall of Europe, what's taking place right in front of our eyes. And then you see, you know, a lot of people that dismiss the fact that there were a couple of Sharia-compliant Muslims in Congress. And then they maybe shrug off the fact that there's a major movement in America to try to become a socialist country. There's a movement within the Democratic Party to embrace these new congressional leaders, and then the movement of all of that. And then you begin to really see the telltale signs. And now you begin to see the seriousness of what we're talking about, really. But you know, one of the best ways to predict the future, and don't forget this, people, it's to study the past. You have to study the past and know historically what has taken place if you're going to predict the future. Don't forget that.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. Joining us back here, IQ, Al Rizzulli is here. You know, IQ is the weekly columnist, first off, on America Out Loud. He's the author of Lifting the Veil, and certainly, as you can hear from his voice and his words, one of the most sincere informed, certainly considered one of the foremost authorities also in the world on the subjects of Islam, but certainly informed on these topics, studies them. Again, I make the statement, IQ, if we're going to predict the future, we've got to study the past and historically understand what's going on. One of the brilliant things I think about what you bring to the table and a lot of your current day warnings is that you're able to interestingly tie historical moments to current day. And that is really, really important that we do that. Now, one of the things that we talked about, and I want to jump into now, is the history of understanding Turkey. There's a lot that people truly don't know. I've learned a ton just reading your writings and having the pleasure to talk to you. But one of your recent pieces here on the platform is entitled Erdogan and the Ottoman Caliphate. And you get into historically some of the most important things about this. But here's one of the things I want to start with. And this is something that nobody really knows. But listen to this. Under the pretext of war, the Ottoman Turks committed the most horrendous and systematic genocide preceding the Nazi Holocaust of World War II by literally exterminating 1.5 million Christian Armenians starting in 1915. Nobody ever talks about that, IQ.
I know, but nobody also ever talks about Christians being persecuted in the 21st century. They are the most persecuted people on the planet, Christians. By whom? By Muslims. And the Pope is silent, and all the leaders of Christianity are silent, including politicians. Now, how can you explain that to me, please?
Well, we have a tendency, certainly in America, we seem to want to make everybody comfortable. Call it politically correct, call it whatever the hell you want to call it. But it's weird. How, you know what I would say to you? The minority rules. And that's what it is. That's the culture within the political establishment, IQ. The minority rules. So even though 1% or 0.5% or 2% or 10% or whatever percent, we seem to want to make everybody comfortable. So we change the rules of engagement for those few. Now, in kind of a weird sort of way, in a very accurate sort of way, it's the same thing we're doing for the what you keep saying, the 20%, the 80 and 20%. So 80% of humanity is looking the other way with this 20%, which they have a mission, don't they?
Of course they have a mission, 1,400-year-old mission, to submit all of humanity to Sharia. Simple mission.
So have they started to play that out? So what we're seeing right now, and you know, as I think about all this and you really connect the dots again, you think about Europe and everything that's happened in Europe and the progress they've made. You just said in the earlier segment, we have some of the stupidest leaders in Europe that we've ever had in history. And they, now listen to me a minute. And they just all happen to be there at this time. And you're right. We have some really dumb world leaders. I mean, since the days of Reagan and Thatcher, the world has changed dramatically. Having said all of that, I wonder, is this the time where they make their move? I mean, is that kind of what we're saying here? Are they making their move on humanity?
Islam?
Correct.
Never stopped. Yes. We are allowing them to win.
Exactly.
There is no chance in hell for Muslims to win intellectually or physically or militarily. Only because we have leaders who are completely and utterly out of touch with reality.
Well, I said the minority rules. Is that right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You have the transgender has more rights than the ordinary American citizen. How is that possible? How is that possible? But as you said, politically correct. But you can't continue being politically correct when you are being destroyed. We are being destroyed by the most incompetent human beings on the planet. But we are being destroyed because we have worse than incompetent leaders.
Yeah, it's always from within. It is frightening here.
Yes, it's frightening. Honestly, it's frightening.
Yeah.
Can you find an imam to debate me?
Right.
Can you find an English-American professor to debate me, please? Could you find one?
I think they would be scared to go up against you if they studied and realized how, because you're one of the smartest guys on this that we know out there, you know? I mean, no doubt.
Malcolm, you're smart. Study. I studied it.
Well, that's exactly it. That's it.
I breathe it. I inhale it. It's a 24-hour time. I can't live without it.
No, Will, intellectually, that's exactly it. You've studied all the pieces to this. That's why often you will send me a message every year. You say, I need to, exhale this stuff. I need to get away and disconnect from Islam. So I'll be unavailable for a couple of weeks. And I get that email from you. And I always chuckle inside and I say, oh, there you go. I know what's going on. I know why you do that. And I totally get it. I totally get it.
Well, because otherwise I'd become dysfunctional.
Exactly. You've got to disconnect. It's important for everybody to do that. But that tells people, that should tell people how serious this is. And the fact of what your mission is, I mean, you are, well, like you are a product of God. You're a product of God Almighty. You're a missionary. You're a messenger. You are a person who has studied this, but also is here, I believe, in my opinion, to warn current day of what's really going on here. And I think there's something to that. So you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes. You know what? It's amazing. You said you're a messenger. A Rasul is a messenger. My name is a Rasuli. That means messenger. Muhammad called himself Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, but he was a liar. I am the messenger of God. I don't lie.
There's no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You're the fabric of who you are, and your DNA has always told me that in all these years I've known you. You are one of the most sincere people I have ever met. And I mean sincere with a capital S, without a doubt. It's a fact. So
I appreciate you.
Well, it's the honesty. It's the honesty. That's why we have a unique friendship here, and it's why that's why it's important. Your voice is here. Your voice is very important. Your message is very important. And, when you first started writing for the network and doing those things, I really didn't know where it would go. But again, when you understand, IQ, that America Out Loud is a mission and a message of God, we're a godly network, and we are a mission and a message of God, really. When you understand the faith involved in this, it's not a stretch that all of these things that have happened in my life and that have happened for this network, I can't, not to be a wise guy here at all, but they're well beyond my control. So all the things that have happened here, they're not things that I've controlled or been able to control. So there's a reason you're here. You understand what I mean?
I understand exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I know you do.
I said, in my opinion, which is the word opinion I never used before,
right.
I am on a mission. I have been selected for this mission.
That's right.
I only hope I will succeed.
That's right. That's right. Well, I feel the same way, IQ. I feel the same way. I mean, I'm always a target. I'm a threat. People, I understand that. The work we're doing is a threat. Listen, we've been threatened. We've been threatened. Listen, another thing you may know, I think I told you this, but if you remember, about 2.5 years ago on Father's Day, we were shut down from an Arabic group out of the Middle East. Do you remember that?
Yes, you told me about it.
Yeah, that's it. So, obviously, we are a threat to these groups, and we realize that that always comes with a risk. But there is a mission ahead, and there's a message to all of this. So, anyways, that's why that's why we take this serious. That's why the network is on the move. That's why you see some of the conversations that are happening here and through our columns and our blogs and through our radio and our podcast and our videos and all of it. I mean, we're out to get the truth out over the long haul about many things, not just one thing, IQ. But again, that to me is that's why we are rising the way we're rising. And so anyways, we celebrate that. Listen, I want to come back and I want to talk about this Ottoman Caliphate here. And I want you to take a moment now, because in that article you wrote about Erdogan and the Ottoman Caliphate, and I want to get out of the way a minute, and I want you to be able to tell folks and educate them on the editor, the father of the Turks, what had happened with the Republic of Turkey back then in the 1920s and 30s, and then what's happened and what Erdogan's master mission. I don't think people truly get what's going on, but I need you to explain to them the caliphate that was, what's happened since then, and who the players are and what he's up to in current day.
Kemal Atatürk was a commander during World War I. And in the Battle of Gallipoli, he conducted a fantastic defense whereby the British and the New Zealander forces were literally annihilated. They couldn't get to the top of the mountains. It was he who did it. When the Ottoman Empire completely collapsed, he defended the new Turkey. The Allies wanted to invade. He stopped them. Literally, he stopped them. So modern Turkey would not exist without Kemal Atatürk. What he also did was something remarkable. Although he was born a Muslim, he knew, and he had absolutely no doubt about it. He mentioned it many times if people read about his life. Mm-hmm. He knew that the reason that the Ottoman Empire collapsed was because of Islam. He knew that. It was because of Islam. This is why he hated the Arabs. Why? He removed the Arabic language scripture from Turkey. He turned it into the European alphabet. He would not allow a single imam to be in politics. He removed all, literally all, the Sharia rules from Turkey. He made it secular.
So there was no Sharia. He eradicated all forms of Sharia.
Sharia, because he completely annihilated the opposition, not physically. He made them submit to the law. And the law was the new constitution, which he created. So Kemal Atatürk, they call him Atatürk, means the father of Turkey. Atatürk is not his name.
Right.
It's a title. Because he literally created modern Turkey.
Right.
And modern Turkey was an excellent ally. Of
oh,
America.
My God. That was brilliant. So this is the man that was responsible for making Turkey. And, you know, when you got into Istanbul and you appreciated how East meets West and that beautiful culture that Turkey was, this was the man who was responsible.
Yes. By the way, this is just a sideline. Erdogan, before he started making his own rules of Sharia,
right,
Israelis used to go by the hundreds of thousands. I'm not kidding. By the hundreds of thousands, because it's 2-hour flight, I think, less than 2-hour flight,
right,
between Israel and Turkey, to gamble and to shop. And they stopped going. They stopped going because he threatened the Jews and threatened the Israelis. He also threatened Europeans. Many more Europeans don't go because of him.
Mm.
The economy is collapsing because he borrowed money that he cannot pay back.
Right.
This is why he needs war. War is a distraction. He has no choice. He's going to do it. The trouble is, what are the side effects?
Right.
Collateral damage is going to be huge.
You have now Turkey on the move in that region now, and you've got Iran on the move as well in that region. Now you've got Sunni and Shia.
Correct.
Is this the ultimate battle of the Middle East?
No. There will be a problem with Israel.
Tell me.
If he tries to impose his rules over the territory or what they call in the Mediterranean, where the gas fields are, the oil fields, there will be war. He is encroaching on purpose on territories that don't belong to him, which belong to the Greeks, the Cypriots, and the Israelis. But because he doesn't know how to create, Muslims do not know how to create. People keep forgetting all this oil that the world has was created by Europeans and Americans. It was not created by Islam. Nothing in the last 700 years was created by a single Muslim. I have $200,000 challenge. It's a simple one. If anybody can name 10 Muslims, 10 Muslims, not Turks, Muslims, who had contributed anything to the advancement and or betterment of humanity in any field of human endeavor in the last 700 years.
Yeah.
You can't find 10. You can't find 5.
You say that quite a bit. I notice in your write-ins, you talk about their contribution to modern society, whether it be political, economic, educational, religious, civil, cultural, really does not exist.
None. Doesn't exist. And nobody figures out what the common denominator is, as I said. The elephant fills the room with Sharia. Islam was brilliant when Sharia was not imposed. For example, in a few years in Andalusia, which is Spain, a few years under Harun al-Rashid in Iraq, my country, in Baghdad. These were remarkable times. And when it was not imposed in Iran, the greatest scientists in Islam were from Iran, from Persia. Why from Persia? Because Persia was an empire and a civilization 1,500 years before Muhammad.
Well, let me tell folks, you're listening there to the voice of IQ Al-Razuli, friends. And as we continue to be educated about this most important talk here that we are having here. Another very interesting article column that IQ has written that's on the platform we're going to talk about next. And it's an eye-opener, Shia Iran versus Arab nationalism and why the cycle of violence and corruption will continue to go on. And that's a big statement, obviously. More with IQ in just a moment. Spreading the outloud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. And again, the history you've just gotten yourself with what has transpired early on at Ataturk and how Turkey was at one point really a vibrant place to be, a vibrant economy, a vibrant place where the flavors of the world were all there. I mean, if you landed in Istanbul and you're seeing the flavors of the world, as IQ was saying, Israelis used to visit there on a regular basis. They would spend money, they would shop, they would live life. It's a beautiful thing, people. That's all been changed under the thumb and the fist of Erdogan. That's who it's been changed. And you're seeing that now. And back to the supposed attempted coup in 2016, as IQ points out, if you didn't hear that earlier in the show, you'll want to go hear that again, people, where he points out that was all put on by Erdogan. It was set up that way for him to gain more control and to rise in power as he has. I mentioned to you and I asked you, IQ, about we see the movement of Iran and what's been happening in their hand throughout the region and throughout the world being a state of terror. Their hands are always in terror. Their dollars, economically, they're decimated. They're struggling. They can't pay their military, but their money always goes to terror first before they feed anybody. It goes to terrorism. Now you've got Turkey on the move there. But when you make the statement in that article there about Shia Iran versus Arab nationalism, and then you say something that people always question, and I always say inside of myself when somebody says peace in the Middle East, and I have to say, IQ, not trying to be a wise guy here, but when you put the words peace and you put the words Middle East in the same sentence, you know that you're in fairy tale land almost. It just doesn't compute. So when you say in that article there why the cycle of violence and corruption will continue to go on, why will that happen and what will it look like ahead?
Well, it can't stop because Shia Islam and Sunni Islam, since the day Muhammad died, literally it started the day Muhammad died. So this is a 1,400-year-old confrontation between the two. And they slaughter each other with the same abandon. They slaughter the Jews and the Christians and the Buddhists and the Hindus. The verbal and hysterical abuse and genocidal threats coming out from the Iranian leaders, especially after their successful attack on the Saudi oil fields, are not hot air, gentlemen. They truly believe they are on the winning track, which makes them even more dangerous, because such delusions will lead to cataclysmic miscalculations. Ladies and gentlemen, 6,000 years of history prove that all major wars were instigated by demagogues who initially started with publicly declared threats, take Hitler, for example, who was not taken seriously and caused the slaughter of over 60 million people in World War II. Had Trump not had the 98% enmity by the US media and the irrational Trump derangement syndrome exhibited by all the politicians who do not like him, he would have been in a much better and more solid grounds to confront all the enemies of the USA and make them blink. In summation, I cannot and will not say I know better than the president. These are my own thoughts, based entirely upon my extremely good knowledge of Islam. And being born in Iraq, thus having a relatively better understanding of the thought processes of the Arab and Muslim mentality.
Yeah.
Speaking about Iraq, the Iranians now control almost the entirety of Iraq, because the leaders in Iraq are mostly Shia. And the Iranians have made sure that they have enough people working and in the military and in the security services who will support. Mm-hmm. So Iraq is literally a client at the moment of Iran. The point is this. Will Erdogan and Iran fight each other? That's the question. Both of them hate America. Both of them hate Israel. Both of them hate the West. But will they fight each other?
Will they fight each other?
That's the question. That we have to wait and see. It depends on who thinks the other one is encroaching on their territory.
Well, that's what I said to you in the last segment. That's it's a battle of battles. I mean, is that coming?
I hope so. Between them? I hope so, because it will distract from everybody else.
Exactly.
I hope they will kill each other. Mm-hmm. I hope. The point is, America must not leave Syria completely. American forces, which are at the bottom, somewhere else at the not at the front in the north, must not be, because as far as I'm concerned, Syria is infinitely more important than Afghanistan. 10,000 troops in Afghanistan should be taken back.
Yeah, you said that in one of your, I wanted to ask you that. You said that you would prefer that Trump remove all troops from Afghanistan because it has been and continues to be a waste of time trying to remove Sharia from Islam.
You can't. It's a waste of time. American lives died. People died, hundreds of billions of dollars wasted, really wasted. I'm not kidding.
But what about for those who say that then Afghanistan becomes a breeding ground? They always use the word, which I always chuckle like you, but they use the word vacuum. It creates a vacuum. And of course, I've made a mockery out of that because I said we have vacuums all over the world. There are vacuums everywhere. We can't be everywhere where there's a vacuum.
Yeah, but these people who are talking about they create extremism, they are stupid. Every Muslim is extremist. Every Muslim is militant. Every Muslim is a diabolical enemy who will destroy you without batting an eyelid.
And you're saying until they accept that and understand that, we're at a loss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. It doesn't exist, never existed. Only in the warped mind of the leftists. Bullcrap. Excuse my language.
Yeah. Well, you're always a gentleman. We will take that. All right. So
honestly, when you think about it,
In
Afghanistan, Afghani soldiers are murdering American soldiers. Green on blue. Heard about this? Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's listen. Bottom line is this: as you know already, Americans have become very, very war weary. We have spent our blood and our treasure all over the world, and many times it's because of these foolish politicians who've made silly mistakes. So then now I ask you the question, was President Trump correct in his strategy to remove those 50 troops from Syria?
100% as far as I'm concerned. Irrelevant. I'm trying to explain to you in simple English language. These 50 troops, had they stayed, they wouldn't have stopped the invasion. Mm-hmm. How would they have stopped the invasion? Tell me, please, for God's sake. They would have been surrounded and made useless.
Well, as critics say, that Turkey would not have gone in and would not have wanted to have killed or accidentally hurt any Americans.
No.
You don't buy that.
No, of course I don't buy that. It's not Bastogne of World War II.
That would have been a game changer, obviously. You agree with that?
100%.
I see.
No, they would have been surrounded. They would have been made impotent. No problem.
So then what we're saying is, with all due respect, IQ, what we're saying is that Trump made a brilliant move then in front of all of this hostility and adversity that he has faced. He made a brilliant move.
No question. He's a three-dimensional chess player. I've always said that. All his opponents put together, all their brains put together, will not fit the brain of a cockroach.
Some of our military leaders on the platform here call him a five-dimension chess player. So however many dimensions he's playing, he's definitely playing multiple levels, huh?
Well, I go for three on five dimensions.
I like that.
I always tell the truth. Five dimensions is not my style.
All right. Fair enough. I like that. Very, very interesting. Let's now continue and talk about Trump and domestically, as we've now educated people about the history and what's happening, and Erdogan being on the move and then Iran and the ultimate battles that I talk about. So what happens next? Where do we go from here as far as a policy of what Trump does next and the Middle East? And let's not forget, and we'll talk about in a quick moment here, that he's under siege in a big way here at home. They are trying to remove him every way they can from office. But before I talk about that, and I know you have some strong opinions on that, what is your ultimate thoughts about Trump's strategy moving forward in the Middle East and what happens next? Well, and Israel and all of this, yeah.
Yeah, look, he's sending troops to Saudi Arabia. So he's not getting out of the whole of
the Middle East. He agreed to send 1,800 troops, in fact.
It doesn't matter. That's 1,800. That's more than the 50 people in in North Syria, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's it. If you know how to count, it's more.
Yeah. Okay. He is not abdicating American resolve.
Oh, by the way, IQ, the media tore him apart on that. I have to share with you. You chuckle at this all the time, I know, but I've seen the competing headlines within 24 hours. Oh, Trump wants to end all wars, wants to be warless and get out of all these, and then he sends 1,800 troops to Saudi Arabia. Is he delusional?
Well, they are the ones who are delusional, obviously. I mean, it's not he's delusional. Look, Saudi Arabia is more important to American security because of, not only American security, by the way, is the whole of world security. You need oil. Is that simple? It's not complicated.
Well, we don't need their oil. America doesn't.
No, true. But your allies need it.
I understand. But isn't Saudi Arabia a frenemy?
Correct.
Yeah,
has been.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, Saudi Arabia is not the only one. Jordan is the same. Syria is the same. Forget about Syria. Yeah. All the Muslim countries are the same. Friendly enemy.
Yeah.
They are all Muslims. You know, you can't separate Islam from Sharia.
They call that dancing with the devil.
That's been the case for 1,400 years.
Yeah.
And will continue for as long as Islam exists.
Wow.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can't separate it. It's impossible. As I said, Kemal Atatürk did the most remarkable turnaround in the history of Turkey.
That's right.
It took one man, Erdogan.
You know, IQ, where do we find a current day Ataturk? Where do we find that today?
In the whole Muslim world, you won't find a single one. Because he has to know that Sharia is the enemy of the country, mm-hmm. not Islam, Sharia.
So we can't find a current day Ataturk, huh?
It's impossible.
That's not good news then.
No, but that's the fact of reality. Look, as long as we are realistic, Islam must be quarantined. I've said that a million times.
How do we quarantine them?
Simple. First, you don't allow a single Muslim in any country outside Dar al-Islam. Very simple. Mm-hmm. You cannot allow a single Muslim outside Dar al-Islam. That's it.
You would never win Mr. Politically Correct of the Year. You know that.
Yeah, but I'm not. God didn't send me here to be politically correct.
He sent me to
literally shake everybody. No. Politically correct, what? It's a self-destruction. What am I going to do?
All right. Now, let's talk about what's happening back here on the homeland here of America and the fact. Now, I know you have strong opinions on this. You see that they are trying to pull out all the stops in everything they can to get him out. Now, the current crisis is the Ukraine and the Bidens and the Biden's son, and but more so Giuliani, Trump, and now the phone call. And now they are trying to, the House and the far left socialist are trying to impeach the president. It's almost, the words don't come easy off of my tongue.
It's insanity, total and utter insanity. By the way, Pelosi is not going for impeachment anymore. That's the latest news.
Well, yeah, but that just means at the moment she's not calling a vote. But by not calling a vote, she doesn't give any power to the minority. And then the Republicans are not able to subpoena and do it. That's all that means.
Let me tell you something.
What?
It's all hot air.
Trump,
Donald Trump cannot be removed by those stupid animals. Mm-hmm. It cannot be done. Mm-hmm. The Constitution does not allow for impeachment just because of somebody said so.
Yeah.
You can't speak about, what did he do with the talk with the Ukraine? Even right. The Ukrainian president said he wasn't.
Many pushed. Times he said
so,
that. Many
so what
times.
Are we discussing? So what are we discussing?
Well, but isn't the ultimate reason that they're afraid of the 2020 election because they know America's going to get behind this president?
Of course. He's going to be outside. If the economy continues the way it is, there is going to be a slaughterhouse. There will not be a 10% support to the Democrats.
I have sources as well that are telling me that this could be a landslide of an election in the favor of President Trump. That from day one, I mean, isn't it obvious to even to the casual observer that this president is a threat to the entire establishment?
Correct. But 47% of your people in America are brain dead. They will never see the truth. By the way, something else is happening that the news media don't tell you.
Okay.
More and more African Americans and Hispanic Americans are supporting.
That's right. That's right. We talk about it on the platform here all the time. I just did a show the other day with a great black conservative man, Ron Edwards, and we talked about the plight and the future, though, possibilities of black America. But you're 100% right. There's groups who are seeing that this America is a stronger America, right?
100%. If they swing, if these black Americans and Hispanic Americans swing towards the Republican Party because of Trump, the chances of the Democrats winning anything is zero.
Well, they've got to realize that they've been nothing but slaves to the Democrat Party.
But they have been slaves since even slavery was ended.
That's right. They
became slaves economically and mentally.
That's right. Oh, it's mental slavery all the way, 100%. That's never changed, and it still is today. And that's why strong – and let me tell you right now, though, IQ, there are strong black conservative voices. I mean, we got a couple on the network ourselves here, Dr. Carol Swain, Ron Edwards. These are phenomenal black conservative voices. You understand?
Correct. Why? Because they know from the very beginning the KKK was not Republican. They were Democrats.
That's right, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So when you start with this premise, how can you vote for the Democrat Party if you're an intelligent human being? You have to be really stupid to be a black man and support the Democrat Party. You have to be really stupid.
Yeah. All things being equal, are you optimistic?
I have to be optimistic because if I don't win and you don't win, the end result is catastrophic.
Yeah.
I have to be optimistic. I have to believe that you and I and people like us are going to make a change.
Wow.
You have to. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Yeah.
If I don't believe I'm going to make a change, and I know I have made changes, and there's no question about it. Yeah. When I read on the internet, the style of letters being sent are my style. The capital, the highlighting, it's all mine, literally. They never did that before. I did it, they copied it. So a lot of people, they email me, God bless you, God bless you. True, I get also this destruction by the Muslims all the time. But they never, never prove anything I said wrong. Never, not once. And they can't. No, no, I have to be optimistic.
I believe you are in your heart and in your soul. I believe you are. And I think you also realize the fight that we're put here to have is it's a worldly fight. It's a fight I talk about frequently. It's a fight of good versus evil, IQ.
It's simple. You're right.
That's it. Yeah.
It is that simple. It really is that
simple. It is that simple, and it is a mandate. This is a mandate for us here on this platform, IQ. This whole show, The Voice of a Nation, has been modeled around good versus evil. And everything we do is to that end. It's all about good. Listen, we're about the good of humanity. We're about God's gift. We're about what... And that's why we have to be visionaries. We have to be optimistic. We have to know there has to be a better play ahead. And that is where we get the fight from. More than words, I can tell you, we are blessed to have you with us on this journey. You have become a dear brother in arms and brother in faith and brother in love in so many ways and a brother in friendship. More than I could describe to you in words. And I think listeners get the sense of that. They hear your passion and your vision or your voice. And for that, we thank you very much, sir.
And I'm grateful to you. You have no idea how much.
But again, it is a godly mission that we're on, people. As you hear the voice there of IQ Al Razuli, it is a godly mission. And that's when IQ speaks, you just know that resonates in your soul. Because what you're hearing, you know, is the voice of good. When you look across this network and this platform and you see the amazing people and the voices, I get goosebumps just talking to you about it, quite frankly. And the people we are so blessed and honored to be part of, to, you know, when you're going into battle, you want to have your brothers and sisters around you that you know have your back. And you know those that are worthy of the fight ahead. And you have to know that's important. And it's why this mission and this message of truth and faith is so vital and so important. And now you know why we take the extra mile, why I go that extra step, and why it's a special place. And why when you come to the platform, you know, it doesn't look like other news sites. It looks different. And then you say, well, why is that? Well, you figure it out, people. And you let me know what you think when you do. You can email us always at liberty@americaoutloud.com. And that's what we stand for here is liberty@americaoutloud.com. Now, we can't do it ourselves. I need help. I need your help. We need your help. America needs your help, and God Almighty needs you to be on the front lines here, people, of the fight ahead here. It's time to get involved and get loud.